Welcome to the Tossing Clubs podcast. Next on the tee, your hosts, Frank Jang, Zach Moses, and Aaron Tan.
Yo, what is up, everyone? This is another episode of Tossing Clubs. My name is Frank. I'm joined by Zachary Moses and Aaron Tan. And, dude, full swing's out.
Very, very excited.
Yeah, no, definitely excited. I think all of us were excited. We jumped right into it, like Valentine's Day, okay. But really, it was about Full Swing being released. We all just binged it as much as we could.
I think a lot of people are very excited. It's what, ranked number 2 on the like top 10 hot list or whatever on Netflix right now, so quite a few people watching it.
When you talk to your friends who aren't into golf, did some of them mention Full Swing?
A couple people that aren't into golf asked me if I had watched it.
Yeah, definitely got a few texts over the weekend. Some comparisons to like Drive to Survive or Breaking Point, whatever the tennis show is on Netflix. But yeah, a lot of people are hyped for it.
So coming in, I got a few questions. Were you hyped for Full Swing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're golf fans, right? We're golfers. We're like golf nuts. We literally have a podcast that we put out every week. To not be excited about like arguably the biggest production that a golf has had in like a very long time. Like a Netflix show. Netflix is massive. Like, that's really cool.
Okay, so you would consider yourself a casual or a hardcore fan?
I mean, I think we're by definition hardcore because we have a podcast that we put out every week about golf.
I just think there's always someone who's more hardcore. But now, the reason why I ask is, you know, people critique Drive to Survive. They say the show's not made for the hardcore fan. And Full Swing, because it's a Netflix production, is probably not made for us. So I'm curious to how you guys will rate each of these episodes. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go through the first 4 episodes of Full Swing. We'll save the last 4 for another episode. And just get everyone's thoughts on it. Because, yeah, I agree with you, Zach. This is, like, pretty big. You know, my wife, who doesn't love golf, but she like, watched a few episodes with me. So that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, dude. I've been gauging it based on my girlfriend's been watching every episode with me. And there's been a couple she's fallen asleep in. And there's been a couple that she's been, like, right, you know, eyes glued to the screen, like, excited about. So...
So I think this podcast should have been done by like our SOs, because who really cares about our opinions? We're curious about like the average fan's opinion, right? And that's our SOs. Okay, well, with that being said, first of all, just overall impressions with the first 4 episodes, positive or negative?
I think generally positive. I mean, like I said, like huge golf fan. I liked watching it. I obviously knew what was going to happen in most of the episodes, but getting a bit more of an inside look into what's happening, some conversations that we were not, you know, privy to. And yeah, I think its cinematography is incredible. So it's like really nice to watch beautiful golf.
For me, it was like, I don't know, like I had a, there was a movie that was made about like my high school's football team when I was there, De La Salle High School. And when I watched the movie, like, I was so excited to watch that movie. And then when I watched it, I was, like, so disappointed because I was like, that's not, like, what actually happened. Like, that didn't look like my high school at all. And I felt, like, a similar letdown at the beginning where I was just like, man, this is just, like, it doesn't feel, you know, we lived through it and we were paying attention to this whole year of golf, particularly because we had the pod, and it just felt like it wasn't as in-depth as I wanted it to be. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, and yeah. So let's start with the first episode. The title is called Frenemies. It follows 2 of the game's arguably biggest stars, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. Anyone who is into golf, probably this was the episode that they were most looking forward to. That one or the one with Rory. But this being the first episode, it's really setting the expectations high or low. And before this episode, You know, I was thinking, oh man, they're going to go into how Jordan's struggling. They're going to have Griller on there. They're going to have Bones, JT. Like, there's a lot of different avenues that you could take with these two, you know, stars. But I didn't think it really delivered in that. So, you know, looking at your guys' scores, it seems like you guys sort of felt the same way. So, Zach, tell me what score you gave this episode and why you gave it that score.
Yeah, I gave it a 6 out of 10. I think it was an interesting start for Netflix because, like you said, it's supposed to be a show that's not really for hardcore golfers. And yet they put two of the biggest names in golf in the first episode. I guess maybe because if you're a nobody and you've maybe heard of golf, you would have maybe heard of Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. I thought the first episode was kind of just like a lot of them flying around on private jets and gambling on golf courses. And I didn't really get a very like human story from either of them. Like, it wasn't very in-depth. It was kind of just, here are like really two cool golfers that hit good shots, make a lot of money. So yeah, 6 out of 10.
Yeah, Aaron, and your rating was basically almost as low. And why did you give it that?
Yeah, almost the same. I gave it a 7 out of 10. For me, I'd say mostly in line with what Zach thought. I think I probably ranked it a little higher because I did enjoy, like, you know, the PGA Championship was in itself like an exciting tournament. And the way he came from behind to win that in a playoff, and they really like made that, I feel like they made that kind of like the climax of the episode. So it was just like entertainment value was there. For you know, for us or for casual fans, I feel like, you know, there was a story arc there that was like kind of fun to follow.
I gave it a 7 out of 10 as well, Aaron. I almost felt as if by doing it so that it focused on Spieth and Justin Thomas, it really didn't go deep enough with either of them. It was, you start off with two of the game's biggest stars. I'm sure there's so much you could talk about. I mean, with Spieth, he was just like a phenom, and they sort of touched on that, but they could have gone more in depth with how he was just like we've never seen anything like him since Tiger when he first bursted onto the scene. They could have talked more about his like mental struggles, like his conversations with Griller, like all of those conversations before swings. And maybe that is too detailed and maybe not for the average fan, but I also think that's probably one of the most interesting things about Jordan Spieth, right? And I'm sure there's a way to incorporate his backstory of how he choked at the Masters and, you know, he's going to have redemption. But the Hilton Head, that piece of the episode, it felt like it flew by. It was sort of just like, oh, he won. There's a bunch of guys with red jackets that are plaid. Good job. Now let's go to Justin Thomas and his PGA Championship.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys feel.
I think they were just trying to build this narrative that they're actually like enemies, and like Jordan was having a really great time at this one tournament he won. And so like to fit the narrative in, like Justin would go ahead and win this next tournament, the PGA Championship. So I felt like the whole, well, the title frenemies, right? I think they're just like really good friends. And I think they built up this whole narrative that they're like these enemies that like are very cutthroat, and like, obviously they want to beat each other, but I think that was fabricated quite a bit.
Yeah, it definitely felt like they took specific lines of like interviews with each of them to be like, oh, I want to beat Jordan so bad, and like, I want to beat Justin so bad. And they just like put them next to each other so it seems like they don't like each other. But I mean, also just in general, I feel like each of these episodes has like, it really, they have like one main character and then they have like a secondary, and so the secondary characters in these, like, I feel like they're almost like forgettable. Like, I can't even really remember, you know, how much airtime Jordan Spieth had or what that arc was, because it really was about Justin Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you on that, man. It's sort of a shame. I feel like Jordan Spieth, he probably has so much content that he deserves his own episode. And to like
100%,
yeah, any average fan, they probably know who Jordan Spieth is just because, again, he was so big. And yet it's like sort of a disservice to all of us that, oh, hey, yeah, you know, he plays a practice round with Justin Thomas and he shot +3 and didn't make the cut or something. It was like, okay, great. And then if you're talking about frenemies, yeah, it's like, oh, here's Justin Thomas who's in the hunt, and then Jordan Spieth down there. It's like there's no relationship at all. And Maybe it wasn't the best first episode. I don't know. After seeing it, it was like, oh, it's cool, but it's not great.
What? Well, I heard it wasn't even supposed to be the first episode. They had originally planned to start off with the Brooks Koepka episode, the second one, and they switched it last minute. And it kind of threw everything, at least from like a calendar perspective, a little bit out of whack, because the PGA Championship is not the first major. Like the Masters, and that comes in the second episode. And maybe we can talk about timeline a bit at some point on this podcast, because I don't know about your guys' thoughts on timeline, but it jumps around like all over the place throughout the show.
All over. And it's really hard to like discern where exactly in this timeline you are, right? Even with, you know, I guess the episodes, you know, you go 1 through 8. And if you think about Drive to Survive, you start from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. And like the locations change chronologically. But this is Justin Thomas at the PGA Championship. And then there are other episodes down the road that touch on the U.S. Open and then the PGA Championship. And it seems like Tulsa, Oklahoma is really the it place for golf because there's so much PGA Championship footage.
I feel like they must be banking on the casual fan just not being able to like figure out like exactly where things are or know like, you know, what tournament comes first or where. They just kind of like choose tournaments that work for each storyline. That's what I'm thinking, because I definitely agree, like it was jumping around a lot. I mean, because we know what's going on, we're like, wait, what's happening?
Even at the PGA Championship, dude, I felt like they could have added so much more drama to that whole Sunday, right? Like the playoffs, I felt like they just sort of breezed through that, and then they have Mito at the end with another episode. So it's sort of interesting that, you know, part of that content is there, but part of that content is also in this episode 1. If they somehow could have included like how big of a collapse Mito's like Sunday was, and just the improbable comeback with Justin Thomas, and just how incredible his shots were in the playoffs, you know, I think that could have just made this episode so much better and so much more interesting. But it was just like, oh, he had a great shot, and then, you know, he beat Zalatoris 2-0, you know, like in 3 holes. It's like, I don't know, man.
I don't know if they did a good job articulating to the casual fan like how good these golfers actually are. And I also think it's hard to show on screen that when someone hits an incredible shot, like a Jordan Spieth holing out from a bunker to like win a tournament, like why is that really special? Why is that really hard? Like, I don't know if someone who's never watched golf before would really understand why that's difficult, because it doesn't really look athletic, right? A golf swing just on video doesn't look all that exciting. And so I think they could have done a better job in episode 1, like articulating how good these players actually are compared to just like normal people. Like, why are they pros?
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Like, they don't even really focus on the golf, like the actual playing of the sport of golf that much. It's more like, I don't know, behind the scenes, because all the golf shots are like cut. It's like, you know, quick swing and then the ball's on the green and then, oh, next hole, and then like skip 5 holes and whatever, then the tournament's over.
Yeah, I think they did like a weird job of picking things they wanted to explain to new people, like what is a par or like what is the cut, but then they also missed out on explaining just generally like how does an entire golf season work, like how many tournaments are there, like why are, I mean, they talked about the majors for sure, but like I don't know if they really drilled it in why they're so important to all the different players. And so I think it was a bit hit or miss on some of the beginner topics for the new fan.
Well, I did appreciate, so a lot of I guess critiques, but what's great about this episode, Justin Thomas swears a lot. You know, I love that behind the scenes footage.
I mean, Justin Thomas is great. He's one of my favorite players. He's super fun to watch. I mean, I definitely enjoyed the episode more than probably a lot of other people, just because I'm a huge Justin fan and a huge Jordan fan. So, I mean, just getting any little bit of like inside footage, inside conversations, his like dad and coach talking about things is really cool. Mm. So, I mean, I thought it was a good episode. 6 out of 10, maybe not super high, but like still a decent score.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next episode, which is regarding Brooks Koepka. What's the title of this episode? It is called
Win or Go Home.
Win or Go Home. Thank you. Thank you, man. Dude, all right, Aaron, let's start with you. What score did you give this episode and why?
So, yeah, I like this episode relative to the other ones. I gave it an 8. I felt like it did a good job of like making me feel some type of way about Brooks. You could kind of see where the story was going, but I liked how it kind of like led into the whole Liv thing, kind of showed a perspective of like, you know, this person, he's like floundering. He doesn't know he has no direction. Here's this opportunity to make a ton of money. Like, and then they don't say it, but you kind of like feel like, okay, it's going to happen.
So I'm actually interested in if your opinion of Brooks changed after watching this episode. Like, what did you think of him beforehand? Did you think he was kind of just like a spoiled bad boy, and like getting that inside look at him, did that change your perspective of him at all?
I didn't know. I guess I never paid that much attention to like Brooks's personality off the course. Besides, I just knew, you know, like he had the whole thing with Bryson. Like I knew he wasn't just like an under the radar guy. But I've never been like, oh, he seems really spoiled, you know, like that. I feel like that's an amount of detail that I just didn't personally know. But after that episode, yeah, I'm definitely like, wow, he's really spoiled. Like, he also seems just like a meathead, which I kind of already thought. But, you know, he's like, I deserve to win. Like, I don't know why I'm not winning. And then he just like throws a tantrum. And then he goes to like sit in his chair that's inside his pool, like it in his mansion. I don't know. But definitely like the fact that it brought that emotion out of me, I enjoyed it.
You know, I'm gonna direct that question right back at you, Zach. Did your opinion of Brooks change?
It was like a stock graph, like going up and down throughout the episode in terms of like how I felt about him, because I definitely had the opinion of Brooks beforehand that he was, yeah, kind of just like this meathead, this like spoiled bad boy, kind of like a bratty golfer, obviously very good at golf, but he definitely gives off a like I don't care about golf attitude. It's like all about the majors, and I think there's definitely an element of that that's like true. But I actually thought it, like, for the first time it seemed like he actually really cared about golf. Like, he was actually really disappointed that he didn't have the same talent that he did a few years ago. And I think we kind of got the opinion that, oh, he just cared about money and that's why he left for Liv. And I don't know, I guess I thought it was fascinating to get inside his head and like see his mental state. And there are like a lot of really good quotes about how he was like, you know, you're one swing away from thinking you can win everything, or you're one swing away from thinking like you don't have any skill at golf at all. And just like this back and forth for Brooks from being on top of the world, just like winning tons of majors in a couple year span, to just feeling like you can't compete. And him actually coming out and saying like, I can't compete with these guys. Like Scottie Scheffler, that guy has no thoughts in his head when he takes a swing. And that's why he's winning. And Brooks is like, yeah, like I'm a head case right now. And that was so relatable to me, because that's what I go through every single time I'm out on the golf course. So yes, I still think he's a bit of a brat. I think he's kind of annoying, but also just getting that kind of inside look that he's like actually human was, I thought, pretty interesting. I think it humanized him a bit, but then he goes to Liv and then it's like, ah, okay, whatever. Like, I still don't like you that much.
Yeah, but spoiler alert, like that was revealed in episode 2. What was your rating for the episode?
I gave it an 8 out of 10. I thought it was cool. Like, I actually really enjoyed the juxtaposition between Brooks and Scottie Scheffler. And I know it's more an episode about Brooks, but, like, yeah, you got Brooks. He's, like, the fancy big house and the wife and everything. And then you got Scottie, who's just, like, very modest. He's, like, literally reading the Bible in one of these scenes. He goes out there, wins all these golf tournaments, doesn't think about anything. And then you got this head case Brooks, who's, like, should I take the money? Should I not? Do I have skills anymore? So I thought that was all pretty fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so relatable when he's like putting at home, right? And then he's like basically putting it into a cup on his carpet. The only difference is he has this crazy simulator set up right next to him. But it's like, man, he goes through everything that we do, just like you said, Zach. Yeah, and I actually didn't know, but yeah, Brooks apparently sucks at putting. I just remember like when he was on his run, 4 majors in 2 years, it was just like he wiped his putter, he hit the stroke, and it went in. And it's crazy to think that you just lose your putting, and that can make you basically lose your whole career, it feels like, right? Because it probably, if he still had his putting skills from before, he would probably still stick in the PGA because he would still be able to win. And they sort of talked about that, right? If they almost, he was in contention with the Waste Management Open, and imagine if he had won that, maybe he would still be at the PGA. Who knows? Yeah,
that's actually a good point. I didn't even think about it like that, like because it shows his like how he got there and makes him human, and he seems relatable as a golfer. You kind of like don't blame him as much for going to live. I didn't even think about that, but that's a good point.
Yeah, and you know, I think it almost ended like with him missing the cut at the Masters, and when Tiger won, like Brooks, I'm pretty sure he was like top 10. So it's a huge fall from grace for him, and yeah, I still think he's a douchebag, but you know, it does make me like him a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I agree. I still think he's a bit of a douche, and I don't love that it seems like he kind of gave up, right? It was like, I don't think I'm going to win on the PGA Tour. I'm just going to take whatever it was, $100 million. Like, obviously, that's a ton of money, but that was also a takeaway I had from that episode, was he just doesn't want to try anymore. And I don't love that. Like, I want you to go out there and still try to compete. You were once the best player in the world. Like, don't give up.
Yeah, this is sort of like a tangent, but I wish there was an episode on Ricky Fowler, because Ricky had so many of those comments that were just sprinkled throughout these episodes. But he's like the guy who was once on top of the world, didn't win any majors, but I mean, it's really, really good. And he's still at the PGA Tour, and he was definitely offered a lot of live money, right? Yeah, so you see Brooks as guy who quit, Ricky still staying. Yeah, I think that's a missed opportunity.
I feel like they probably didn't, because it's just like a 2022 season, or that's what it's supposed to be. And like, Ricky hasn't really been relevant. He didn't really do anything in 2022. But like, I agree, as just like as a character in like, potentially another season, like Ricky's got a ton of fans. He's got a lot of personality, a lot of, you know, a lot of interesting stuff there for content.
All right, episode number 3 with Ian Poulter. It's called Money or Legacy. Zach, let's start with you. What was your rating for this episode, and why did you hate it?
I think I gave it a 6 out of 10. I wouldn't say I hated it, but I mean, this was the live episode. It was definitely a focus on Ian Poulter, but I think we also got a few interviews with Dustin Johnson in this episode, because he also ended up taking the money and going to live. And I think my biggest gripe with this episode was the producers of Netflix were scared of pushing too hard on both Ian Poulter and Dustin Johnson in terms of like why you actually made these decisions to go to live, the consequences of doing it. I think there was like struggle between having access to these really great players and then actually being like great journalists and like pushing and asking the tough questions and getting a better response out of these guys than they did in the show. I felt like the way it was framed, Ian and Dustin Johnson turned out like pretty well for them, right? It like made their reasoning for going to live pretty obvious. Like, okay, Ian for his family, Dustin because it's a business decision, but they didn't really ask a lot of the hard questions. They didn't ask anything beyond what we had kind of already heard out at like press conferences and anything, and kind of like the general messaging and positioning that like these golfers have been saying for the last few months. So I was a little bummed that we didn't get more than like what we already saw, just like in the general news.
Yeah, I have to agree. I also gave it a 6 out of 10. And I feel like, you know, it just, like you said, it wasn't anything new that we didn't already know. And it like Liv was like such a big storyline, and it's so you know, it's so I can't think of the word right now, but it's just it could have been so much more interesting, and it was just kind of, you know, this is, you know, Ian cares about his family, so he's going to try to make more money, so he's going to Liv. Like, that was it.
But also what pissed me off so much about that is he'd say all those things about, man, we don't make money when we get cut, like I need all this money to support my family, and he's doing it all while he's flying a private jet. It's like, I don't feel that sorry for you. Like, you've made $33 million over the course of your career, and like, sure, you're gonna make another 30 plus million going to Liv, but it's not like this guy's poor.
Yeah, yeah, his house is a freaking mansion with like a driving range in the back. It's so silly. I think the just Ian Poulter, he's not as relevant anymore. He's like the perfect person that Liv would target, someone who had that pizzazz, someone like the old heads would follow, but not really, can't really compete with the young guys anymore. I gave this episode a 7. I think you guys are a little bit harsh. I mean, I like, for example, I don't think it's as non-attached for me as it was with the JT and Spieth episode, which I actually gave that a 7 too, but I felt like this might have been like a 7.5. It made me sort of like want to root for Ian a little bit when he was like missing cuts, when he used to be so good, such a, you know, ferocious Ryder Cup, you know, combatant. Like, it's the pinnacle of his career, and you can tell he loves the Ryder Cup. But so it sort of made me gravitate towards him, you know, humanizes him a little bit. Whereas the Jordan and JT episode, it was just, yeah, rich white golfers who are really good, top of their game, just flying private jets and betting on every hole. Yeah, which, I love JT, but him winning another major, it's like not as it's not as engaging for me, at least, than it was for like, oh, Ian. Like, you could tell this was weighing heavily on his mind, this decision.
Yeah, I think that was a redeeming quality about that, is like just the Ian Poulter part, because he's not someone that, you know, like you said, recently he hasn't been, you know, at the top. And so since we've started this podcast, like, I haven't had a reason to really follow Ian Poulter. So it was pretty interesting to just see like what was going on in his mind.
Yeah, I think, man, I think this episode was mostly about him though, right? Was there any secondary character in this? I don't recall if there was one at all.
There is some Dustin Johnson. But yeah, I mean, Ian was kind of the core, yeah, guy.
I mean, I felt like there, in a later episode, there's Matt Fitzpatrick. I felt like Dustin was definitely the secondary character in that episode, but I don't recall him at all for this episode for whatever reason.
Oh, I may be mixing it up then. I just remember Dustin talking about Liv somewhere, and I assumed it was this episode because it was this is a Liv episode, but I could be wrong there, and maybe gave a little bit of a preview of what's coming next week. But
yeah, but this episode definitely setting the stage for Liv Golf being the impending antagonist to this whole story arc. Okay, episode 4. Personally, I think this is a fan favorite. I would just guess it's with Joel Damon, sort of a goofy guy. Zach, let's start with you. What rating did you give this episode? And why?
I gave it a 9 out of 10. I think it was arguably my favorite episode, definitely top two. Joel is just such a likable golfer, a likable person. And I think that shines through throughout the episode. He's also just like so funny. And I think it's interesting to see someone who is a professional golfer. He's a top 100 golfer in the world. And he just like doesn't think he's good at golf at all, and he like has all this like self-doubt and he's like very self-deprecating, but also he's just hilarious, and he comes from like modest beginnings, and like he became a really good golfer, and he's just like having a good time out there. So I just thought it was like very fun to watch him. I laughed quite a bit throughout that episode.
Yeah, this episode is called Imposter Syndrome, and I mean, it takes us through Joel like straight up not even thinking that he would qualify for the U.S. Open, and thinking, oh man, why even try? having a beer in between, not a beer, but like a White Claw, which I thought was really funny, in between rounds, because he was just like, might as well just go home, to shooting probably one of the best rounds of his life, at least for, you know, what it eventually leads to, thinking about like the downstream effects. And then, you know, for 3 days, really competing in one of the four majors. That's insane. So I gave this episode a 9 out of 10 because it was just like, yeah, when we talk about secondary characters, I mean, his secondary character was Gino, his caddy, right? And I thought Gino was also super interesting as well. Just their dynamics, how Gino's like, hey, you know, you could like fake an injury and we could just WD from here. Like, I didn't know pro golfers said that.
Right? Yeah, that's super funny. It's like probably a thing, actually. It's like golfers, all these injuries that come up, half of them are like fake because they just want to, they're going to miss the cut anyway. And they're not going to make money. So they're like, let's just catch the early flight. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, go home. Aaron, what'd you give this? What rating did you give this episode?
I gave this one an 8 out of 10 also. Like you said earlier, Frank, like I might give this like an 8.5. I also like this the most out of the first four episodes. I just feel like it's, you know, the whole imposter syndrome thing, like that's so relatable. Like there's so many people that, you know, feel that just at their jobs or at, you know, in life in different scenarios. So like that part was super relatable. And also just having this content of like, you know, an interesting guy on the PGA Tour, like going more in depth with him. We already know so much about Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. Like I didn't learn that much from that episode, but like I totally forgot Joel Damon had testicular cancer. I didn't realize, you know, he lost a parent. Like he's been through so much. It's just, there's so much there that I'm really glad they gave him a whole episode.
Yeah, he's probably on the list of most likable guys on tour. Man, and imagine just like not trying and being that good. Like if he worked out, if he really like paid attention to his game, maybe it's worse for him mentally, I don't know. But if he's already that good and he can't really do like a stretch, dude, I mean, he could be amazing.
Yeah, it's so funny because like the first three episodes, you just see like Jordan and Justin and Brooks Koepka in there like benching two plates and they're going so hard in the gym like every time. And then episode four opens up and Joel is like, doesn't even know like the name of his stretch. He's like can't do anything. He's like crying on the the yoga mat or whatever. And it's just like so opposite, which was so funny.
I think the only thing that prevented this from being a 10 for me was like the ending. He just like fell off. And I know it's like you can't force the ending, but how great would it have been if he won the US Open, man? If he had won just this whole arc, it would have been incredible.
I mean, that's like the perfect story. It's like you couldn't even write something that perfect. And yeah, it didn't happen.
But it was also the perfect story for Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, down the road. That, I think, was one of my favorite episodes, too. But yeah, so overall, these first four episodes, pretty solid. For IMDb, it's really interesting how they rated it. Pretty similar to what we felt, actually. So the public, which I'm calling IMDb, is saying Frenemies, gave them an 8.2, gave that episode an 8.2. The second episode with Brooks, 8.4. So all of us felt like the second episode was a little bit better, and same with the public. The Ian Poulter one, 8.3, and the Joel Damon one, 9.4. So yeah, I think I did not look at the actual reviews nor the ratings before this, but it's sort of interesting to see. I was, you know, I don't think our opinions are that crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Like, I do feel like you could kind of get that feeling of just like, oh, if you didn't know anything about golf and you're just watching these as a casual, you know, person, like, I don't know, the entertainment value, that's kind of how I would rank them, the four of them.
Do you think it accomplishes that goal, though? Do you think it would actually really, I don't know, draw new viewers who are not into golf in?
Like, I don't think it's going to be what Drive to Survive did. If that's, and I know that's like such a tough comparison, because what that did for the sport of Formula One is like insane. Like, we shouldn't really be comparing it to F1, because I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was just like absurd what happened for F1 in the US. And like, I don't think that's going to happen for golf. Do I think there's going to be more people watching, more people playing, for sure. I think it'll continue to grow, but I think we need to lower our expectations in terms of like that many new people just like going crazy about golf.
Yeah, I think it gives like the average fan someone to root for, right? Like, if you never watch golf, like, a lot of these, I mean, Justin Thomas, he's huge, but outside of the world of golf, he's probably one of the least recognizable athletes out there. Like, if you think about NFL, NBA, you know, soccer, like, Justin Thomas probably at the bottom of that ladder. And if someone watches this, as they have some context of who he is, and especially someone like Joel Damon, like, no one knows who he is unless you're into the golf scene. But now he's probably gained the most fans from at least the players in these first four episodes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When we started episode one, Kelly, my girlfriend, was like, I can't tell them apart. Like, is that Jordan or is that Justin? Like, I don't know.
Dude, my wife said the same thing.
I was like, they look so different. What are you talking about? But like, you know, a few episodes in, then I was like, who's that? And she could like name every golfer that we had already seen. So I do think that name recognition is going to grow after this.
Yeah, it's like Brooks Koepka, it's like the guy with the blonde hair who's complaining. Ian Poulter, it's like the old dude with the crazy pants. Joel Damon, it's like the funny guy with like a story about, you know, his mom passed away and he fought off cancer. But then episode one, it's just Justin and Jordan, two white dudes that play golf. Like, I don't know what's super memorable about them other than them being really good, which is why I thought it was kind of odd to start with that episode. Especially for like non-golf people.
Oh yeah, yeah. Jeez, I think there was so much more potential. And I'm sort of surprised that they only have 8 episodes, right? Like, make it 10. Like, it seems like you have footage for Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler, definitely the biggest thing that happened last year. Like, in Drive to Survive, it was all about Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, and you're omitting the biggest player out there. And I think he could be super interesting. Right now, he's not, because he's sort of like a very mild-mannered person. But just sort of like his faith and his devotion to his faith and how that has guided him throughout this whole arduous process. Like, he was on the Ryder Cup team, but he was the last pick. And he was sent to go against Jon Rahm, who was the number one pick of that Ryder Cup team. And Scotty, you know, held his own and I think beat Jon Rahm. And who would have known that that guy who was the last pick would become just the most dominant player of 2022. And it seems like they have footage of him, but they just didn't have time maybe to produce something like that. So, you would want to have something to highlight your winners. And they just didn't do that.
Yeah, like related to that, I also wish they had something for Jon Rahm. Like, that would be super interesting if he got his own episode, or even, I feel like he hasn't even been much of like a secondary character in any of these. He's just, you know, he's gotten a couple lines here or there, but you don't see much of him at all.
Well, that's what season 2's for, right? More players.
I was going to ask, season 2, who do you want to see on season 2?
Max Homa. Like a big episode on Max Homa. I know he had like a sneak peek on the Joel Damon episode where he shows up at the party, and he does like a quick interview, but a whole episode on him. And I think especially because he's playing so well, we're still early in the season, but he's playing so well here in 2023. So if he goes on to win something big, I could definitely see an episode next year.
I'd love Will Zalatoris, like, you know, if he, assuming he comes back strong from the injury and does some big things, like, I'd love to see more of him.
Damn, those are great picks. I have no clue. Tommy Fleetwood would be dope, dude. Like,
what?
I'm getting the looks. Dude, I was going to say Max Homa, but you stole my thunder, Zach.
How about Tiger Woods?
Cal Bear. Yeah, he ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. Unless he wins the Masters again, then obviously that's going to happen.
How about someone on Liv? Like, chronicling.
Oof. Like, Phil would be interesting.
That's interesting.
Phil would be crazy. Thomas, you know, Peters? Just kidding. It's so funny. My buddy texted me today. He's like, I'm in the Cabo airport. Thomas Peters just walked by me, and he walked over to this guy with, like, there's a live tournament there this weekend. And so they have all the, like, the drivers, like, out in front of the baggage claim with a live sign for the different players. And apparently Thomas Peters just, like, walked by. He's like, wow, I just watched Netflix last night. I actually knew who that guy was. But if I hadn't watched Netflix, I would have never known who this random dude was.
Yeah, he was a recent signing to live. But I was going to say, I was just thinking about this today, guys. I don't miss a lot of the players that went to live. There's only a couple that I miss. But the person that I miss the most is Joaquin Neiman. It's not even Cam Smith. I think Joaquin, especially maybe because he's part of an episode down the road in Full Swing. But, dude, he went from winning the Genesis last year, and now I have no clue what he's doing. Dude, and he probably has such a bright future. It's really a shame that he had to go to live. I don't know. Is there anyone like that for you guys?
I mean, Cam Smith he's just so good at golf, right? And I guess we'll see him at the majors, but Cam Smith, I mean, maybe Brooks too. Like, all the bad guys, quote unquote, are gone. And so,
yeah, Bryson.
Yes, there's fun people to watch on the PGA Tour, but I think entertainment needs a good versus evil narrative, and all the bad guys are gone. Like, Patrick Reed is fun to make fun of, and like, I'm never gonna watch him again.
Yeah, Aaron, anyone doing that for you that you miss?
No, those are the biggest two. I was just gonna say, like, I also, we haven't talked about Bryson, but that would be something interesting to see, like, because he's got so much going on with his, you know, his swing, his bulking up, his attitude. People hate him or love him. He's so polarizing. Like, that would be entertaining for sure.
He's a YouTuber now.
And a long drive contest guy.
Dude, he's everything.
Yeah. All right, cool. What great rundown of the first four episodes. Looking forward to doing another rundown of the second half, which I actually think is better. Like, I'm a spoiler alert. I think the second half is better than the first half. So let's, any last statements about Full Swing?
Just go watch it if you haven't.
Yeah. I've only watched 6 out of the 8 episodes, and I might watch another one right after this.
Yeah. I need to watch the 8th episode, the Rory episode, which I'm sure Aaron has such high expectations for. So we'll see what he says next week.
Yeah. I can't wait.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening once again. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you all next time.